to maybe some things to look at in the next couple of weeks or so. This past week or so, I just began to read again in that of Nehemiah. And a couple of days back, probably midweek or so, it was in the afternoon, and I just sat out here on the back bench and left my phone in the office, you know, had a bottle of water, and just sat on the bench and just read it slowly. And when I began to read it, there's a few things that stuck out to me about what Nehemiah prayed about and what was his concern. And as I began to look at these areas, it began to bounce in my spirit that we can do that same thing today. We should be able to do that same thing today. We're children of God, amen? Led by God, spoken to by that of God to lead us, to direct us, and to do things in our life that seem to be the impossible, right? We look at what Nehemiah did. We'll get into it and read it, but kind of looking at it, he had his brother and some friends came and visited him, and he asked them, how are things going? And they said, oh, it's not so good in Jerusalem. The walls destroyed, the gates are burnt. The people are not doing well. And Nehemiah, when he heard that, he felt saddened. He wept. He began to pray. He began to fast. And he prayed. And he fasted. And he prayed. Because of what was going on in his homeland. Now Nehemiah, he was living a good life. He was a cupbearer for the king. It's a pretty good gig, except you're taking the wine and you're drinking it first to make sure that it's not poisoned. Pretty good, I guess. I don't know. Well, hopefully, you know, you go through it. And, you know, he was right there with the king. And he was a servant of that. But it was a pretty important position as a cupbearer. The king built a relation with him. He built a relation with the king. We build a relation with God through our times with him. And for the adversaries, our adverse situations that we go through and that he brings us through, we are continually building this relationship with that of God the Father, through that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to probably just read a little bit in the first chapter and some things that stick out. But if I looked at this real quick, Nehemiah expresses the practical everyday side of our faith in God. I encourage you that when you read God's word today out of his Bible, or the Bible, that's his word, these words that I read a few days back were meant for me today to deal with situations that I deal with. Are God's word in his Bible the same for you? Through problems that you come against, through problems that come upon you, for things that you find yourself, sometimes even on your own abilities of getting yourself into a problem, that you cannot cry out to him to help you and to pull you out of that. God's word is there for that. But this is Nehemiah expresses the practical everyday side of our faith in God. So we'll probably work at this in a couple of different ways. And we'll just see as God leads the next few days out as I read through this. But chapters 1 through 7 deals with the wall. And then we get into chapters 8 through 10 addresses the people inside the wall. And then the last section, 11 through 13 chapter, the people are restored to obedience to God's word. We find throughout all of God's time, throughout all of these books that we read, we find where people were in love with God. We find people that were obeying God. We find people that saw what God was doing in their midst, how he provided and took care of them. And we also find these same people eventually turning their back on God that provided for them, and they do other things, and they leave God out of the equation of their life. And that's not good to do. If we read some of these stories throughout that of God's word, he's a God that is there for you, but you've got to be serving him in what he's asked you to do. And so many times I think we get to this point where I serve him just a little bit and everything's going to be all right and I don't have to continually serve him. And that's a misconception. Because with God, we have got to serve him daily. We surrender ourselves daily to him. Now, he gives us the free will to do, to follow, to do these things here upon this earth. We all have jobs, we have lives, we have families, we have situations going on, but we are still in the midst of all of that to follow God. Amen? So within this, we're going to find a little bit about Nehemiah with that of he has compassion, he gets cooperation, he builds confidence, and he has courage. Sounds good life to me. I need to have compassion. Remember I said when his brother and some people came back and told him how things were in Jerusalem that he wept and cried and went to prayer? Compassion on that. Cooperation. Cooperation not with just the people there when he got sent back to restore and to build the wall and the gates, but cooperation with that of the king that could give him the passage to go there and to accomplish it, to go through multiple lands or cities and outposts of different groups that he could have free passage through. And not only that, but we'll find out that what happened too, he needed supplies to build the wall. And this king that he was a cupbearer to, he asked him, would you give me a letter so that I can get all the lumber I need to fulfill what I need to do? A letter for that. Here you go. Your needs are met. It's a God thing, folks. God preparing all of that. He worked through Nehemiah to have that compassion upon his heart to go and to serve the people there in Jerusalem, his fellow men and women. He worked upon the heart of that king to fulfill what Nehemiah wanted to do and to give him that ability to cross the land. And once he got there, he gave a letter to this person that had the forest, and he got the needs that he had. All the material was available to him. And let me tell you, it takes courage to do a lot of that, right? Anybody want to volunteer to do that today, you know? So I want to look at this, and maybe I've already talked a little bit about this, and now it'll kind of blend a little bit here. But on my heart, when I read this out a few days back, I came up with this. What is it that you need to rebuild in your life? What is it that you need to rebuild in your life? We all have something to rebuild, don't you agree? Something that has been taken from us, something that has been destroyed, something that's laying at waste in your life. And now it's like, I am going to go and I'm going to rebuild that. And God is going to give me the ability to do it. He's going to give me the letters to go, whatever the case is. Now, this is talking back in the Old Testament. This is talking about Nehemiah going to do something physically to rebuild the wall and the gates. But I'm looking spiritually in the New Testament. I'm looking at us today. Of what do I need to rebuild in my life? And I've got that ability, just like Nehemiah, to go to my king, amen, my king, and to say, give me a letter to go through whatever I need to have accomplished, that I'll have passage, that I'll have supply, that you'll meet my need, amen, to get this thing accomplished. So what is it that you need to rebuild in your life? The book of Nehemiah tells of the third time of returning to Jerusalem after captivity, telling how the walls were rebuilt and how the people were renewed in their faith. Although God gave Nehemiah all that was needed to rebuild the walls and gates, it didn't come without doubts. There were those of the Arabic and those around that were kind of like laughing at that when they found out, you're going to do what? You're going to get these people to rebuild this? You're kidding. You're joking. So there are ones out there that casted doubts. They made fun of it. But it didn't keep him from fulfilling what he initially wanted to do. We have that in our lives today, to where when we hear something from that of God to tell us to do something, there could be people at you that will scoff at you to say, are you sure? Are you thinking, or do you think you're really hearing from God to do that? That sounds so bizarre. That sounds like the impossible thing to do. Well, God is a God that does the impossible in these situations when he puts his hand upon you for your hand to go upon it, to where he is just sending you and just go. And you're not going under your own power. You're going by that of prayer. You're going by that of, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, direct me. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me direction in how this needs to be accomplished. If I were to reflect upon this of today, we would hear, and we hear it today. You've heard me say this. You've heard people say this. What is wrong with our government? What is wrong with our school systems? What is wrong with our nation? What is wrong? If I was there, I would do it this way. If I was able to be this or do that, I would take care of it this way. Well, we have that ability through that of God. When God puts something upon your heart, amen? When he puts the nation on your heart, you better start praying. You better fast if that's what he's telling you to do. You better do what he's asked you to do to continue to pray and lift up this nation. You better pray if he puts it on your heart for the school systems, if he puts it on for your state, if he puts it upon for whatever the case is that you feel that God has instructed you, then we better step up to the plate like Nehemiah. Better weep to think what it was and what it is now. How many here weep at times when you think about where our nation has gone? This nation has had a lot. Our walls in this nation, they're destroyed, guys. The gates around this nation, they're destroyed. And they're continually to be destroyed. They're continuing to be trampled upon. There's things in your life that are being destroyed, that are continually being destroyed. If we don't get that unction or that understanding, like some of these wise people of the Bible, that when God speaks into us, he's given you a mission to do. And it's not to say that God puts this upon my heart to where, okay, I've put it upon Tim's heart, now I'm going to go over here and take care of something else as God would be speaking. No, God is saying, I have put this on my son's heart or my daughter's heart, and I'm going to stay there with them to get it accomplished. But they've got to stay tuned to me. They got to pray to me. They might have to fast if I tell them to fast. They might have to give up something if I give them to give up. Whatever it is that God is speaking to us. Thank you, Father. Someone ought to do something. You are the someone. We are the someone in this nation. We are the someone of the church to rebuild whatever has been and what is been and being destroyed. We can step up and stand up and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. In reading Nehemiah, we find that he was made aware of the problem. Yes, he became distressed about it. He didn't complain about it. He went into action to fix this problem. Nehemiah had God on his side. Do you have God on your side today? How many here feel like you got God on your side? Are you a child of God? You're a God's child. You're a kingdom kid. You've got the resource. Amen. Nehemiah had God on his side, just like us today. The story begins with him talking to fellow Jews, reporting the condition of the wall and the gates that are around Jerusalem. So I'm just going to begin to read here just a little bit. And it takes off after verse 2, it speaks about his brother and friends coming and telling about what's happening to Jerusalem and the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity, but now it's concerning that of Jerusalem. Verse 3 says this, "And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province," this is 1:3, "the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." What do you need to rebuild in your life today? "So it was," verse 4, "when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." When we come upon a situation, it's going to take time. It's going to be times of prayer, preparing for what needs to be done by that of prayer. Could be a one-day prayer, could be a three-week prayer, could be a six-month prayer. I don't know what the length of prayer is, but it's going to take prayer of us getting to that point like that of Nehemiah. And then what I like about this is then he goes after those times and fasting, and he's praying this, and he says this in verse 5, "I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now." 1 hour a day. No, it says day and night. And he's going in and he's saying this. I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. So he's referring back to Moses. In Deuteronomy 28:15, this is now talking about blessings and curses. And this is curses on being that of disobedient. This is what he's referring to of what you shared with Moses. But it shall, and this is Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And we're not going to run through the rampant of curses, but just go from 16 on down, you're cursed. Why is that? Because you didn't observe the commandments, the statutes, the things that he had asked us to do. We had him for a while, we did this, we did that, and then we lost our sight with him, and we got caught back up into the world, we got caught back in our job, we got caught back up in something, whatever it is that takes our sight off of the things of God. But here's a man that heard the despairingly things of what was taking place in Jerusalem, because his fathers and his family and history, they were buried there. It had history to him. It's any one of us would look at sometimes the towns that we had come from and all that, and if something would happen to them and they would go downhill and they would just falter or fail, you know, maybe you'd feel the same way. I don't know. Maybe not. But in this time and where Jerusalem was and what the walls were about, and the walls were there to protect the people. The gates were there to let people in and out. They did a lot of things at the gate. But we find a man that understands that these people have sinned, and not just them, but we too, I too, have sinned. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Verse 9, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. And it goes on to say in verse 11, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So what we find here is this, that Nehemiah responds to the problem with what? Prayer. How many times do we get into a problem, we forget to pray? We get into the problem, we forget about God. We get so blinded by the problem, we get so buried by the problem and the adversity of that, that it takes our sights and our eyes off of that of God that we should go to right away. But he responds with prayer. He recognizes the problem. Recognize the problem in your life. Go to prayer quickly. Act upon it. After hearing this, his first action was to pray. His prayer touched upon three areas. These three areas were: one, recognizing God's holiness. Ask for a hearing. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Confessing of sins. And then asking for specific help. Help me, Lord. Anybody been with all of those areas? Help me, Lord, how I'm going to deal with this. How am I going to get out of this? What is it, Lord, that I should do, that I can do to help this situation or correct this situation? I believe if we do those things and go to God with those things, we will have an answer like that of Nehemiah. And he will prepare the way. He will put people in our path that can help us. He will give us knowledge, wisdom, whatever it is, that you cannot outthink God in the things that he can do for you in your situation. Many times in our situation, we count it as, it's a done deal, it's a failure, it's not going to get any better than this, I'm just going to forget it and just let it go. But we can't do that. We have to hold on. If it's something that God has done, something that God has spoke, something that God has planned for you, don't give up on it, amen? You keep your hand to the plow. You don't look back. You keep going through whatever it is. And there is adversity out there. But I do recognize that my God is holy. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Anybody, when you've prayed to God, do you ask him, Lord, are you hearing me? Anybody say that? Lord, this is Tim. I know you know already, but I just want to make sure. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Lord? Oh, Father. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of this, for whatever it is. Things are brought back as the Spirit brings things to you, maybe, or something that's, it's say, Lord, what is... I'm sure we're all there at times, but I've gone into prayer and I said, Lord, what is the stumble? What is causing this not to come about at this point? And again, I repeat it again to you folks. I've got some things on my prayer list that I'm still praying about that I have not seen the results yet. And I've been praying for months. And I look out there and I bet I could ask you and you'd say, I've been praying for things for months. I've been praying for things for decades. I've been praying for things for, you know, decades. I've not seen it yet. But I serve a holy God. I serve a God that loves me, cares for me, is there for me. And I will admit, the first one to admit, I don't understand God's reasoning. Anybody here do? If anybody comes across that, let us know, man. Write a book. Of course, I think there's a lot of books already out there, people thinking like, I know why this hasn't happened in your life. Do this, do this, do this. Just go right to the Bible, man. Just read God's Word and let the Spirit reveal to you as I go to Him, Lord, are you hearing me? What am I missing in this equation, Lord, that I have prayed for all of this time, for this situation, and nothing has come about? And then all of a sudden, I get something in my spirit. I go, well, okay. I've heard this, so I'm going to do this. And it is a good thing because it's in His Word. I'm going to praise Him for the answer. Praise you, Lord, for hearing my plea. Praise you, Lord, for coming with the answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. Praise you, Lord. And then I also kind of go to a prayer of this. Lord, if it's not the way I understand it to be, what I think it should be, would you give me an understanding that I see it in your sight of why you did it this way? And if I don't understand it, you know what, Lord, I've got to go to this level here. Trust you. I trust you, Lord, above everything else. I don't understand it. It wasn't answered the way I wanted it. It took longer. It hasn't come yet. I trust you, though, that I still love you, Lord. I still love you, Lord. And sometimes on that, if nothing else, if I can just hopefully, when I say because I've been still waiting on a particular prayer request, a prayer need, something that I've prayed about, just prayed about and prayed about, if I can end that whole thing where it's not been answered yet, but I can sit there and say, I love you, Lord, no matter what happens. I kind of smile thinking that I just kicked some sand in the devil's foot or face. Because it's going to take those times to kick that sand into the devil's face to say, see this devil, I'm not giving up on my God. You can have your heyday, playday, whatever the case is, but my eyes are not set upon you. My eyes are not set upon this material of this world. My eyes are not set upon the problem or this or that. My eyes are set upon my God, who is the God I go to help me get through these things. It's the God I go through when I hear of something happening that it makes me sorrowful, weeping, that I go to and say, oh Lord, give me the resources. Give me the help. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, Lord. Hear my prayer. Help me, Lord, go rebuild that wall that's been destroyed in this life of mine. Now, this wall, when he built it, he built it like in 52 days. To get an understanding of the wall in its length was over almost 2.5 miles long. 2.5 miles of a wall. It's not so bad if it's only like this, right? It's not so bad if it's a wall like this. But this wall was 2.49 miles in length. It averaged a height of just over 39 feet. The thickness average was this. The thickness was over 8 feet thick. Over 2 miles of a wall, 39 feet high, 8 feet thick, built it in 52 days. And had all the necessary wood, trees, lumber, supplies, whatever needed. Who provided it? God working through man. See, we pray to God for situations, and we always think God is going to send it like, you know, on some kind of like an angel just floating out of the sky coming down to my house. Here it is, Tim, silver platter. As we see here in Nehemiah, we find that God worked through that of the king that had the authority to where, and we're going to read into that next week when he went and saw the king, because now the king, after all these years that he's been his cupbearer, he goes, something's wrong with you, Nehemiah. I don't think you're sick, but you don't look the same. You look kind of down. Have you ever been down? Can people look at you when you go out someplace and they go, what's wrong with you, Tim? You're not that bubbly guy. You know? You're not happy looking. What's going on? The king noticed that, and at least Nehemiah was willing to share what happened and not say, oh, see, some of us in our pride go, oh, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Oh, just having a bad day. Just, you know, stubbed my toe when I got out of bed. It's no big deal. No. He was at least willing to say, well, here's what's going on in my life. Could you help me? Well, what can I do for you? The king would say. Many times, if you don't realize and speak out, nobody can offer the help because you're prideful keeping it in. And God will say, okay, Tim, if you want to be in pride and just keep it in, I've got people that I can send to help you. I got things out there in the natural through that of people, through organizations, through this guy, through that guy, whatever the case is, to come and help you. I'm going to wrap it up here because we got to get back for that ice cream. And we'll take back up on it next week. But I'm going to show, or I could tell you in a few instances to where how God has blessed Harvester's Church through that of the natural. Amen? Well, how does that work? I could reel off some things. Maybe next week I'll bring out something and show you as well. But I'm going to tell you this. When I became the pastor here after Pastor Hoblett retired and said, here it is, Tim, I sat here and stood here and walked around here thinking, Lord, I am blessed. My only ministry, my only work of God, I don't sense going to put other churches anywhere or anything like that. But I said to walk into this and what Pastor Hoblett has put sweat and love into and to come in and he says, here, I'm retiring. And he's passing it on. And I looked and I was humbled. I looked and I walked around this place and I just shook my head. I'd sit in the sound booth. I would walk the property. I would look at this. I would just say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Not too many first-time pastors just walk into something like this that's all been prepared. But God prepared it, amen? And Lord, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know. We have people leaving. We got this, we got that. And I'll just end it with this. He brought a cell tower. He brought a cell tower that was a big help that took care of the monthly mortgage for quite a while. God works through other men. God works through other agencies, other entities. What we have got to do, what you've got to do, is realize that when that was brought to us, is I didn't say, wow, that was pretty lucky, just in the nick of time. No, I go, thank you, God. Because before all that even happened, the Lord spoke to me that there would be finances that comes through the post office box that will provide for this work. Well, guess where the check comes through? The post office box. God is a God of His Word, amen? And He will not let you down. He just wants you to see the problem for what it is and then go to work on it. And that seeing the problem, admitting the problem, and then, Lord, hear me, let's begin to pray, whatever that prayer requires, whatever it needs, and don't give up, amen? Don't give up. You'll do the impossible. And there'll be some other things I'd like to share with you next week in regards to some of those things that I, as a pastor, have seen God's hand. That's why sometimes when I look at low numbers and all that, people go, well, you can't certainly keep going. I go, in the natural? Yes. But I can pull out umpteen things that just say how God blesses and God provides, that it's all His because this is His. We've surrendered it to Him anyway. Hello. So hallelujah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this time. Lord, as I looked at and reflected upon Nehemiah, Lord, where he got notice of a problem, Lord, and he reacted to it first by that of praying. It hurt his feelings that he wept so much because of what that meant to him, Lord, of Jerusalem and the gates and the wall being destroyed, Lord. But then, Lord, he began. Something rose up into him, and he was going to take care of it. And you gave him the ability, Lord. You gave him the connections, Lord, to be able to complete and to fulfill what was put upon his heart. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that now for each and every one of us here today, Lord, that whatever that is, what wall is it that in our life we need to rebuild? That, Lord, you will give us the resources. You will give us the whether it's the manpower, the financial, the time, strength, whatever it is, Lord, you will be there and give that to us to accomplish that. Father, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I care not what others say. I say my Savior lives. Thank you, Father. Bless each one, we pray, Lord. Give us a great, wonderful week ahead. Continue to be with Doug out in the Dakotas, Lord, as he ministers to the Native Americans. Bring him home safely. We pray for the upcoming message from that of Pastor Nate. Lord, I just pray for the people here today, for their needs, for their things that are upon their heart, that, Lord, they just surrender them to you. Thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.